What's up, everyone? This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, a basketball podcast that's brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlingsMedia.com. You can also find us on other popular podcast outlets such as Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, X, Facebook, you name it, you can find us. Just make sure you call out GremlingsMedia.com and look for Buzzer Beaters. This is your first time. Hey, you know, this is our 30th episode. We cover a lot of content, mainly focused on the NBA, but we talk about the NCAA men's guys as well as the women's, WNBA, but that's off right now. So it's all pretty much focused on the NBA. And right now we're essentially 2 months into the NBA season with more than 20 games have been played by everybody. So last week, what we did is we focused on some of the teams that were disappointments. And we kind of wanted to see if this is something that we think that they could, you know, come back and get some traction to come back from that disappointing start, or if this is kind of more of the same. This week, what we're doing is we're actually doing the opposite. We're going to go ahead and talk about some of the surprises, some of the teams that have actually had some really good starts, and some of them have kind of faded a little bit. But we wanted to kind of see if this is something that we think, are they going to continue surprising and surge, or are they regress? So we're going to go ahead and talk about that. And then we're going to dovetail into the Emirates NBA Cup standings. I mean, that's pretty much done now. And then The knockout round is starting next week. We'll go ahead and cover. Tuan and I are all about contests. And we had a little contest on that. I have a little scoring system that came up with Juan, which, you know, I kind of gave you a sneak peek about it, but we'll review when we get there. And then the last is another contest Tuan and I have been doing, and that is on the rookie watch. We have that kind of this draft that we did, and then we've been kind of keeping track of the stats throughout the entire season of all the rookies that are on our team. So there's five rookies on each team, four first rounders, and then one second rounder each team. And I've been keeping stats, and I'll go ahead and show you how I go about calculating the stats as well. And then we'll go through the last thing, which is the conference seedings standings. That's going to be shifting on a week-to-week basis because, you know, the NBA is definitely shifting big time. So Tuan, man, so let's, before we get started, I want to ask you, man, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
Man, it was busy. Well, I was tired. I was like looking forward to going back to work, man.
Really?
Oh yeah, I was exhausting. I took Wednesday off, right? Because I think I may have mentioned this last week. We were having some people at the house. I had to rearrange furniture so we could accommodate about 20 people. So did all that Wednesday. Thursday was all day cooking. Now I don't cook. I'm a horrible cook. I burn water, bro. Just so you know. So I'm not a good cook. But what I am good at, I can clean. I can organize. So I'm like following my two daughters and my wife around. They're cooking stuff. I'm cleaning. I'm moving this, moving that. So that's
But you're essentially taking orders, man, right? You're the sous chef.
I'm the sous chef, bro. If they tell me to cut something, I cut it. You know, if they tell me to boil water, I start boiling it. But that's it, dude. I don't taste test. I don't nothing. I'm just horrible.
Now, right? do your girls, your Sienna and Lexi, do they cook?
They cook. They cook.
So oh, wow. Year, check them out.
Sienna made the mashed potatoes. Lex made the macaroni and cheese. My wife, you know, made the turkey and the stuffing and a couple of other things. And then people that were coming over brought some other things. So it was pretty good. You know, we like to cook a smaller turkey. And then what we do is we get a boneless breast turkey, right? And we cook that because mostly everyone prefers the white meat, but we have the dark meat on the turkey in case. I think you said you're a dark meat guy.
Dude, I'm all about the dark meat, too.
Yeah, so if you came over, you'd have all the dark meat. Yeah. But we did all that, and then Friday had like a little Friendsgiving with some buddies, and that was a kind of an all day ordeal. And then Saturday, trying to recoup, and then Sunday start putting up Christmas decorations, bro. And I'm just like, that's
it. You already started doing that? You already put your
started.
Oh, just started.
A week process, bro, because, you know, so we started putting up some of the lights, putting up some of the tree. We still have to get the ornaments up and stuff like that. But little by little, dude, little bit at a time. But just pretty much every day from that whole holiday was just exhausting. Non-stop. How about you? I know you went to the great state of Texas.
On Tuesday, Patty and I drove down to LA because we wanted to go meet our daughter because we had flights that were flying out of LAX to Austin. So we drove down there the night before, stayed overnight. And then, dude, we got up early and left, you know, seriously, the hotel that we were staying at is only about a mile and a half away, but it took us almost 35 minutes just to get there, man. And it's a good thing we woke up and left and got an Uber right over there to get there on time. But we were like,
you mean the hotel in Texas?
We stayed at a hotel in LA to get plane to go to Texas from LAX, right? But in order to get there, we had to take an Uber, which is only one and a half mile away from the hotel. And dude, we barely made it, man. It was like that. It was so packed. It was crazy how packed it was, man. So, and then, you know, coming back, I came back on Sunday and then we drove back on Monday from LA up to here. But I heard that from the TSA, one of my managers told me that the TSA reported that was the most traveled day ever in the history was on Sunday with Thanksgiving. It was just crazy. And I could see it because the airport was completely full, man. But hey, man, I had it was only like six of us, you know. It was my brother-in-laws. I have two of them, then my mother-in-law, and then, you know, my wife, myself, and Amanda. And we just, dude, you know, I kind of was still dealing with gout a little bit, man. So I'm cool now, but I wasn't necessarily 100% when I went there. And anytime I get gout, bro, and I've had this one for like 2 weeks now, a little bit more than 2 weeks. Anytime I get gout, man, I kind of have to watch what I eat. And I can't really eat what I really want, right? So because of that, I believe it or not, bro, I actually lost weight over at the Thanksgiving break compared to, you know, because of the gout thing, right? So I couldn't eat like burgers and all that. I had to just stay with the, you know, the white meat stuff for everything, man. But dude, I had a great time. Didn't imbibe too much just because of the gout thing. So it's probably a good thing, a blessing in disguise.
that's the motto when you get older, bro. I can't eat what I want.
Yeah, I know. We have to watch ourselves, man.
The less you can eat that you want.
Yeah, totally, man. But yeah, it's good to be back too. And I felt it too. Like, you know, traveling, you know, it takes a lot out of you. Yeah, it was good to be back too. So I'm back in the swing of things this week. But dude, so we're here with our podcast, man. Let's go ahead and get started, man. So
all right.
So as we discussed what we're going to talk about today are some of the surprise teams, right? And we wanted to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and cover four teams from the East. We're going to go over the East first. And then we're going to go over the West. There's five teams in the West. And we'll go ahead and get started with the team that's been the most surprising. And it's very obvious. The Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, okay.
And for the audience, Evan Mobley. In my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've been talking about Evan Mobley big time, right? But I'll tell you. So just for the audience, there's a lot of information here on this banner. But all the subsequent banners are going to follow the same kind of flow. What you're going to see here is that number one tells you in the front. The number tells you where they're seated today, right now. And then you'll see offensive rating with the number and then, you know, where they're ranked. The one tells you they're first. And then defensive rating, they're 10th. Net rating, they're third. And then I added another piece of information here. I looked at the starters, okay, the starters versus bench and where they rank in the entire NBA. And their starters make up 83.9%, 83.9 points, and that's seventh best in the league. And then their bench is 38, which is seventh best in the league. So they're a very balanced squad, man. So, but I got to tell you, man, this team from the outset, I mean, let's just say, man, Kenny Atkinson seems to have just unleashed this team, man.
Yes.
They're a 19-3 right now. They're steamrolling teams for the most part. What's interesting, though, bro, is that they have three losses. One of them was to the Celtics, which was a great game, right? It was one of the first NBA Cup games that we've seen, and it was like a instant classic. But two of their losses, man, of their three are to the same team, the Atlanta Hawks. Can you believe that, man?
No, right? I can't believe that. But, you know, like in all sports, there's matchups, right? There's always a matchup problem.
Correct.
You know, there's always a team that for whatever reason you can't get around. Yeah,
it's interesting, man. So, and, you know, for the most part, this team has been pretty healthy for the most part. There's only been really one guy who's been out and hasn't played yet in the entire season, and it's Max Strus. And this was the guy I was trying to remember, you know, when we first started the season, that I didn't see him in the lineup. I thought maybe like he got traded or just retired. I didn't see him, right? I didn't see any reports on him, but then I found out later he's been dealing with an injury that on his ankle that it's indefinite right now. They don't know when he's going to come back, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only guy. But other than that, this team has been pretty balanced, man. And, you know, they started out 15-0. But in their last seven games, they're 4-3. You know, like I said, I think Atkinson has unleashed this team. They're the biggest surprise in the NBA.
I agree.
I want to get your take, man. Do you think these guys are a legitimate contender, Or yes. Do you think that they're going to regress, you know, more?
No, I mean, I think they may regress a little, but I think they're definitely going to be top three when it's all said and done in terms of the seeding. Yeah. And it wouldn't be, and any of those positions wouldn't surprise me, one, two, or three. Right. You know, the thing that I want to see them is, you know, they got pretty deep in the playoffs last year. They're going to, you know, my guess would be that they're going to get pretty deep in the playoffs again. You know, it's probably going to be down to them in Boston. Although, you know, a couple of the teams that we were throwing dirt on have woken up a little bit, like Milwaukee, a couple of other teams. They're starting to kind of rise from the dead.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Cleveland's legit. And the reason I think they're legit is because they have a couple of components that I think won't go away. One is, you know, Mitchell. Spider Mitchell is
he's playing really good. And the thing, yeah, for sure.
You know, he's played really. I mean, you know, he's been through the ups and downs. He's proven that he doesn't, you know, shrink when it comes to pressure. So I think that's number one. So I think they have a legit leader / scorer on that team. Yep. The other one is size, right? They have a tremendous amount of size.
Twin towers, man. Yeah,
correct. So as long as Allen can stay healthy, he's been the one kind of piece that has had a little bit of injury history. So, you know, you just got to kind of keep an eye on that. And even if he did get injured for a short period of time, I think you could swing Mobley over to the center position and not really lose a beat. Maybe lose a little bit of a defensive beat, but I think, and then the third one is an up and coming young kid in Mobley. You know, I think that,
for sure.
You know, like every time I watch him, you know, he looks so comfortable underneath. I think the one thing he's got to focus on is he's a little not three happy, but he shoots more threes than he should. I think that he needs to punish them in the low. He's very smooth in the low post.
For sure.
He can create a lot of space if he stays in the low post. You know, Jared Allen's not exactly a low post scorer. He's not a scorer pretty much at all.
He's an opportunistic scorer. He's
like a lob guy or like, you know, that type of thing. But I think Mobley needs to concentrate a little more closer to the basket, which will open up the field for, you know, Garland and the other players. So that's what I think. I think they're legit. I think they're going to stick around, you know, and then, you know, Ty Jerome, who was a Warrior, he's been playing really well, for Cleveland. So I think, and like you said, like you have the stat here, you know, their bench is producing. So I think they're here to stay.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, they did have a deep run last year, but it got stymied, unfortunately, because Jared Allen got hurt, right?
Because Mitchell got hurt, really. Mitchell was hurt.
He got hurt, too, but Jared Allen was the main ingredient, right? I mean, that's what makes them, you know, a matchup problem, is because they have these two big guys that, you know, both of them are very skilled in their own ways, but Evan Mobley's definitely more of an offensive threat, you know?
Yeah.
And Allen is more of a defensive threat, although Evan Mobley can play defense too. So
he can. Oh yeah, he's not a slouch. I don't want to say that.
No, I know. And dude, can you imagine that? 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they had Lauri Markkanen too. They had 3 7-footers in their starting lineup, man, at one time. Can you imagine that, dude? No. You know, that was kind of like the sign of the change of small ball to big ball, right? It, all of a sudden, the Cleveland Cavaliers are like, screw this small ball stuff. We're going big ball. And they definitely did. And then Minnesota Timberwolves followed suit thereafter and did the same thing. And you're kind of seeing that kind of starting to come back a little bit.
Yeah, but Markkanen turned into Mitchell, which probably was – I mean, I think it's the right move. They needed a little balance in that. But, agreed.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right, man. So you think it sustains? They're going to continue, and they're going to continue their upward trend. So, all right, let's move to the next surprising team in the East, and that is the aforementioned Atlanta Hawks. They're the only team that have beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers twice, right? And that's the reason why, you know, the Atlanta Hawks essentially, you know, got into the cup. You know, they won their group, right, because of that. But, you know, you can see they're the sixth seed. You can see they're 19th offensively, 19th defensively. Net rating 19th, pretty consistent, man. And then their starters are 16th, and then their bench at 40 points a game is third. It's third best in the NBA. This is a very deep team, man, I got to tell you. And what's interesting is that, you know, in looking at this team, you know, DeJounte Murray left this team, right? And, you know, they got back Dyson Daniels. They also got back it was Dyson Daniels and I forgot. Dyson Daniels is a very good defensive player. That's what he was known for, right? And that's what DeJounte Murray also, he was known for his defense, but he also could play offense. But Dyson Daniels, he seems to be working very well, and it's filling in that void very well that DeJounte Murray left behind. Right. So I think that's a good. But the other guy that came over from that trade was Larry Nance, and it's interesting. It goes to show you how deep this team is that Larry Nance is hardly even playing right now. Okay, yep. That's really interesting. And the other thing is that the biggest. You know, we talked about some of the offseason signings, you know, these guys that, you know, on the rookie contracts and they're kind of getting extensions. One of the big steals at the 20th pick was with Jalen Johnson, all right? Yeah. That guy, he has been playing lights out, man. And he's like really, really – I mean, he's unleashed this team a little bit, in my opinion. Because Trae Young, he's been kind of playing a little bit more passive recently. He hasn't been as assertive offensively as we have normally seen him. He normally is kind of like guy taking over like the scoring, responsibility for the team. And he just seems to be kind of trying to facilitate more. And the other interesting thing that I thought may have happened, and we may have talked this before the season, is that we thought maybe Clint Capella might have been dealt, right?
Yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah,
yeah, and because we thought this emerging Onyeka Okongwu at a USC, I mean, he's a really good player. I mean, he's a defensive minded guy just like Capella is, but he can shoot. He can shoot the three every now and then. And Capella has no offensive game to speak of other than just the opportunistic putbacks, right? Which he's good at too, right? So this team is better than they're playing better. I mean, they're 11-11, right? I mean, we thought that, you know, they would be worse than this. And I called them out as a surprising team just because 11-11 and beating the Cleveland Cavaliers 2 out of 3 times, they deserve to be, you know, recognized here as one of the
– Yeah, and one thing for me, you know, I was a little mixed on the draft pick of Reece Arshay, you know, initially.
Yeah.
And he's playing well. He's getting better. You know, he seems to be tracking in the right place. So yep. That's another thing I think that is a pleasant surprise. I mean, he still isn't, you know, a leader on the team or anything like that in any capacity, but I think he's doing well. And to your point with Trae Young, I think that if this team's going to succeed, I don't think Trae Young can be the focus of the offense. I think Trae Young has to be, you know, a complement to the offense. And so they need to figure out where that scoring is going to come on a more consistent basis. And then Trae Young can be like the cherry on top or the dagger, you know, that would come if and when they go on runs or do, you know, play offensively.
Yeah, and it could be that this Jalen Johnson might emerge as that guy.
Yeah.
The guy who's going to be their main scoring threat, because he is a problem, because he's a two-way player. He can play defense and offense very well. He's long, right? Yeah. But this team is definitely deep. I mean, you can see that they're the third best bench, right? That tells you how deep they are. The fact that Larry Nance isn't playing, that tells you how deep they are.
And
right?
We didn't even bring up Bogdan Bogdanovic. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and he's come back. He was injured, and he came back. So, So let me ask, do you think that you're going to see more of the same, them continuing to surprise everybody and kind of be on the same path, or do you see them kind of regressing to the mean?
I think they'll stay right around 500.
Okay. You know, I think so too.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they'll be better than what they are now. I don't necessarily see them getting worse, but I think they'll hover right around 500, which unfortunately in the East is like, who knows, could be a 5th seed.
It's pretty good, man, right?
You know, yeah, if you're in the West, you're not even probably in the play-in game if you're around.
I know. But, well, right now they're like the 6th seed, so they're in the playoffs right now.
Correct.
Right?
Which, so I guess overall I would say in the East they're probably going to be in the playoffs, but overall in the league they would be below middle tier. Right, they would be in the upper lower tier, I guess, is the way that I would put it. But yeah,
right. So I see a couple of folks here just watching. We're here live. We're here live for a reason, because we want to hear from you. We want to get your comments, your questions, anything that you'd like us to talk about. We're more than happy to take your questions or comments. Yep. So please feel free, if your platform allows it, to go ahead and post up a comment or a question. Thanks for listening. All right, so anything else on the Atlanta Hawks before we move on to the next team in the East that's a surprise?
No, I think we pretty much covered them.
Okay, cool. All right, so the next team that I wanted to go ahead and point out as a surprise team. Now, again, this team is, you know, we're talking about a team that's under 500, okay? But the East isn't the West, right? So, you know, the West is very deep. You're not going to see an under 500 team until probably like the 12th or 13th seed. And you're seeing it here in the 7th and 8th seed with the Chicago Bulls. So the Chicago Bulls are 9-13, okay? Obviously, they've been actually relatively healthy. They haven't really had many injuries, other than maybe Patrick Williams, who's been probably the one who's been longest on the injury list. But this team has gone 3-3 in the last six, but they've had close losses, which is why I wanted to kind of, you know, bring them up as a surprise team, because they just barely lost to the Bucks. And the Bucks, you know, we talked about that early in the season. I'm like, yeah, who cares? The Bucks kind of suck, right? But they've turned things around apparently, right? And it looks like, you know, they won their group in the NBA Cup. And then the Celtics, they also just barely lost to the Celtics, and of course the Magic. And all these three of these teams are the top, you know, five, six teams in the East, right? So yeah, the fact that they played these teams pretty well, it shows that they're actually coming around a little bit. But, you know, I got to tell you, the trade, the offseason trade for Josh Giddey in exchange for Alex Caruso, that seems to be working out for this team, man. I mean, essentially, Caruso is a glue guy. He was a really good defensive guy. I think they miss his defense because, you know, I would say just looking at their rating, I mean, their defensive rating is 27th in the league, right? That tells you that that's where they need the most help, because offensively, they're pretty damn good, right? And then you can see that their starters, you know, they're ninth best in the NBA right now with 83 points per game, but their bench is right kind of a little bit above, you know, above the norm in the
middle ground.
Yeah, the upper echelon of the NBA at the 14th. So they're a decent team. They have decent talent, right? We know that Zach LaVine, Josh Giddey, Nikola Vucevic, those are their main big three. Then they have this Ayo Dosunmu, who's actually a pretty good defensive guy. They have, of course, this Patrick Williams, who's been hurt. And then you have your boy, Matas Bucelis. He's starting to play more, man.
You got to get him going, man. I'm telling you.
Dude, he balled out big time, man, a couple games ago. So, you know, the fact that he's doing that, and you're closing the gap, man. We'll go over that. We'll show you.
How don't forget Kobe White. Kobe White's been playing.
Yeah, Kobe White, too. I forgot about Kobe White, yes. And then Lonzo Ball, dude. Lonzo Ball is back. Taking like 2 years off. You know, hopefully he's changed his shoes, man, because I think that's the biggest contributor as to why he's been injured so much. But you know, so you know, a 9-13 team, yeah, are they surprising? Yes, only because we thought they'd be worse, and they're actually being very competitive right now. In my
opinion, they are.
What do you think, man? Do you think that we're going to see them continuing to progress?
I'm kind of looking at their depth chart right now, you know, and I can see Kobe White's out. I don't know how long he's out for. Patrick Williams is out, and I don't know how long he's out for. Lonzo Williams is out. I don't know how long he's out for. Josh Giddey's day-to-day. So, So I think that this team to me looks like a team that is trying very hard to, you know, stay aggressive, make the most out of their season. But to me, I think this is a team that's going to slip. I think, you know, after like December into the January timeframe, it's going to be too much for them. And I think they're going to start to lose in big chunks. That's what I think. Now, also, if I'm not mistaken, there's been talk about trading their center, right? Isn't there been some talk? Yeah. Yeah. I believe there's been some talk around trading him. Yeah. So it looks like Chicago at least wants to do something. Now, I don't know if this is for the future or this is for now, but, you know, and Vucevic is a pretty good center. You know, that's someone that you've touted in the past, you know, I think he could, and if they do that, I think that also hurts them in the short term. May help them in the long term, but I think in the short term, that's also going to hurt them. So to me, I look at this team as someone that's going to slip a little bit. You know, they're probably, you know, going to be closer to, you know, 11, 12 seed, somewhere in that when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and I think so too. I mean, the thing is that I would say that they're probably going to hover right around 2 to 3 games below 500, you know, for most of the year. They do have good talent, man. I mean, Zach LaVine is a player, all right? He's an alpha dog as far as scoring. Yes. The only thing is that's kind of what he really is mostly known for, right? He's not really a two-way player. He's mostly an offensive player. Josh Giddey is a two-way player, but he's not very consistent offensively. But he's a very big guard. He's 6'8". He's a matchup problem, right? And he actually passes very well, man. And his shot has gotten better. Patrick Williams, they gave this, you know, 5-year contract, and, you know, he's actually a decent two-way player, too. He's just not a very offensive-minded guy. He's more of a defensive-minded guy. But Vucevic is kind of like – the whole team kind of revolves around him. Yeah. What's interesting is that guy doesn't make that much money, you know. He's only like $20 million, $21 million, I think. He's a very movable asset. And I know a lot of teams.
Yeah, he's more of your traditional big man, which is probably why it impacts his wallet. You know.
Yeah, but he could shoot, though. He could shoot. He's a stretch five, man. So he could shoot. The thing is that – you know, he's I don't want to say a defensive liability, but you know, he's not as athletic as some of the other more athletic centers in the
NBA. Yeah, and that's what I meant by traditional, just a little more lumbering.
Yeah, a little bit more lumbering, but he can shoot. So, you know, they were talking a little bit about, you know, him, you know, when we get to, you know, the West on the Warriors, but they were definitely talking about potentially going after him. At least the guys on the radio station were talking about that, right?
Well, they didn't make the list this week, and I didn't put them on. I mean, I didn't bring them up I'm actually kind of keeping an eye on them and Detroit, because I think Detroit is going to end up with a better season than Chicago. I have a little bit more upside on Detroit long term. Right now, they're a little bit worse than Chicago, but just want to bring them up because I think they've got a little more youth. They got a little more. Everyone's kind of heading in a trajectory of upward. I look at Chicago, there's, you know, Zach LaVine is.
They're older. I know what you mean.
They got some older players that have pretty much, you know, they've been around, and if they see a season's going in the tank, I don't think they're gonna.
They're not gonna find
the energy to keep going. You know,
they're gonna rebuild. I mean, they have those assets. I mean, I'll tell you, Vucevic will get a lot of freaking interest. Zach LaVine will get a lot of interest because, you know, some of these playoff teams, this guy's instant offense. Zach LaVine, you know, is a very good offensive player. And then you got Vucevic, who can play both ways. I mean, he's a good center, man. He's been in the league for quite some time. I think he's still under 30 years old, if I remember correctly, but came out of USC. But anyway, so anything else on the Bulls before we go on to the last team in the East before we go to the West?
No, I don't know. I think we covered them pretty good.
Cool. All right, man. All right, so the next team is the last team in the East, and this is the currently ninth-seeded Brooklyn Nets. You can see that their offensive rating, they are the 16th team, but defensively, they're the 25th. Net rating, they're 24th, okay? Why am I putting them there as the, you know, the surprise team? Well, they had a stretch. You know, right now, they're 9-13, but they had a stretch recently where they took out, on the road, three consecutive in the same week, they took out the Kings, they took out the Warriors, and they took out the Suns. All right. And this is like, whoa, this is a team like, you know, a lot of teams like, you know, this is one of those teams that a lot of teams would probably take lightly. But after seeing them play, man, I like the way they play. They're kind of positionless for the most part. Everybody's similar sized, right?
Yep.
They're very aggressive, you know, as far as maybe their defensive rating isn't showing it. They play hard, but you can see that they play hard. But the problem
they're opportunistic.
Yeah, right. But the thing is that the reason why, you know, after winning those three games, they proceeded to lose the next three games, and primarily it's because their best player is out now, Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas, you know, had a strained hamstring, and he's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks, which means he's probably going to miss at least a month, right? So you're going to see, without their best team, the best player, you're going to see some of these other guys start taking, you know, a shot at getting some playing time. Zaire Williams actually was a guy who played very well for them. At least, you know, I remember against the Warriors, man, he just balled out, right? And then they have this Nick Claxton, who was, you know, a very good center. He's one of these athletic centers. He's not more of a traditional kind of center that doesn't really score, but he does all the dirty work. You know, he's a good player. They have some decent pieces. Cam Johnson is another guy, you know, played for Phoenix Suns. He's a guy who came out of North Carolina. He's actually a really good player too. So they have, you know, and Dennis Schroeder is the point guard. You know, he's a problem, man. He's just way too freaking fast. He just breaks on any beat. So they have a lot of interesting pieces. But, you know, the thing is that because they're in the East, you know, they should be better than they are because, you know, the East isn't as competitive.
Yeah, but, I'll give them some points. They came out West, and, you know, supposedly the West is better than the East, and they go ahead and beat three teams.
Correct.
And the Sun and the Warriors at the time had excellent records, you know. They weren't no slouch teams, you know, and the Kings are starting to wake up a little bit now. But this is kind of a peculiar team to me. Like, I don't know what to make of them. I know you're going to ask me what I think, and honestly, I don't know. I don't know. You know, they're kind of, you know, well, what's interesting is that before they went with the Durant, Kyrie, Harden, this was kind of the vibe that Brooklyn was having.
Right.
You know, they were kind of building something and they were getting better. And then all of a sudden they decided to, hey, let's go for broke and get these three guys. And that all went to hell. And they kind of, I'm getting that same vibe again, you know, like that good energy, that good thing. And you know, I really don't. If I look at their roster, you know, they got some good players, but I don't see anybody like far and away, like would be like, oh, that's the guy, or that's
no, there are a bunch of like
they're doing it as a group.
Yeah, there's like they're like what Barkley said the other night, right? About the Warriors, they're just a bunch of just the guys along.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a bunch of just the guys on that team.
Yeah, but the Warriors have the Warriors have Draymond and Steph, who are not just the guys.
Right.
But I don't know who Brooklyn has that isn't just the guys.
Yeah, that's my point.
Like, yeah.
They're mostly a bunch of just the guys.
Yeah.
But they're all decent just the guys, yes, right? You have Cam Johnson, he was a lottery pick. You have Dennis Schroeder, who actually I think was undrafted, but he became a pretty good player in the NBA. And then you have Nick Claxton, who was he's actually a decent player, man.
Yes.
Then the rest, of course Cam Thomas, he's a guy who's their best player. Now, like I said, that he's out, and after he got hurt, now they're losing. Right? They're starting to lose now. They have to adjust without him now. And
I think they're smart to have Ben Simmons coming off the bench, which he is.
Right.
And that's really where he is right now in his career. But he's also a lottery pick. I think he was
the number one pick,
right?
He was the number one pick. But, he's the only real one that's – actually, I take that back. He's been the one who's been in and out of the injury reports, right? But the one guy who hasn't yet to play is Bojan Bogdanović. Who actually played for the Nets years ago and then left and then came back, right? But he's now back on the Nets, but he hasn't played yet. And he's one of these outside scoring threats. But I see this team.
Dorian Finney-Smith, he's got an ankle issue.
He's been out too, right? Like I said, they have a bunch of decent players. I think they have a bunch of assets that a lot of teams would probably come knocking when the trade deadline comes, because they have some pretty interesting pieces. And, this team, they essentially got stripped of all of their picks because of what happened with Durant, Irving, and Harden, right? So they didn't even have any offseason, they didn't have any draft picks in this upcoming draft. So they were kind of hurting, man. But
yeah, I know. I believe in the NBA, you can't trade away two consecutive first round picks. So they should have a pick at least
this season
coming up. And then I don't know what it looks like beyond that, whether they're missing one the following season or not. But yeah, that was rough. Like that whole process was rough.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it really derailed the organization. They really went for broke, and it didn't work, and now they're below. But again, like you said, they're playing hard. They're playing good. I'm hoping that maybe they get a draft pick this year and they can make something out of it and start playing again.
All right, man. So do you see them kind of more of the same, or do you see them regressing?
Yeah, probably a little worse than where they're at right now.
Yeah, I think so too. Just because
not too much worse, but just a little worse. Like I said, it's gonna, like I said, there's a couple of teams that I'm looking at. I like looking at the bottom to see who might step up. In the West, I look at like the Spurs. I was looking at the Rockets. I know we're gonna talk about them in a minute, but the Rockets, like, they're beyond my expectations now. But some of the lower teams, like I said, I look at the East. I look at the Bulls. I look at the Pistons. I look at the Nets, and just see who can kind of who's the best of the worst kind of deal.
Yep. Yeah, but before I move off from the Nets, I mean, look at their rankings as far as starters and bench, right?
Yeah, their bench is better than their starters.
When you see a bench in the top 10 or close to the top 10, that tells you that they have a very deep team, right? Yeah. And these guys do, right? They just don't have a bunch of star power right now, right? But
your metrics here are only, those are points scored, right?
Those are points scored.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Yes, correct. Yeah. So, all right, let's go to dovetail to the West. So the first team we're going to talk about, a big surprise, is the number two seeded Houston Rockets, 18th ranked offensive rated team, which is interesting because this is actually the second worst offensive rated team out of all the teams that we're covering today. Okay, they're the second worst. There's one that's worse that's going to be coming up soon. But defensive rating, they're at number two. They are this year's Minnesota Timberwolves of last year.
That's what I was going to say. They took the Timberwolves' soul. They
did. They did, man. But you could see, I mean, look at how much of an impact defense has, okay? You can see that they're, like, one of the bottom level guys on offense, but top five, top three in defense. You can see how much of an impact that has on net rating, right? They're fifth best, right? So that tells you defense travels. And this, we talked about this before the season started, that last year when we were looking at the ratings, it surprised me that this team their ratings on the defensive end were better than their offense because they totally come across as an offensive team, right?
They do.
Right? But their ratings tell you they're very defensive minded. But then you look at their overall starters and their bench scoring. I mean, they're equal. They're the 13th best on both sides. That tells you they're a very balanced team.
I agree.
So this team is scary. I know this is a team that you wanted to talk about. So give me your thoughts about these guys.
I mean, like you said, I think you kind of stole it a little bit. They are this year's Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, they're a very tough team. They're a very well coached team. They've got a lot of spirit. And what stood out to me, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but last year, you know, when we were kind of going back and forth on who's going to make the playoffs.
Right.
And Houston was like a game or two behind the Warriors for the final spot in the play-in game.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time telling you, I think Houston's going to pass them up. You know, I think Houston's going to catch them. And then all of a sudden Houston went on a little bit of a
dry spell.
What do you call it? A little bit of a dry spell. Yeah. And they kind of just kind of separated a little bit, but I always thought it was more Houston kind of losing speed than it was the Warriors pulling away. And this year, you know, I knew they'd be better. I didn't think they'd be this better, right?
No, I know. I agree with you, man.
Yeah.
I didn't see it either, man. Nobody, I don't think anybody saw that they would be this formidable this quickly. I mean, you know, they definitely have the main ingredient that really, I think, helped them was bringing on, you know, Fred VanVleet and then Dylan Brooks, right?
Well, so let me ask you a little bit about Dylan Brooks, you know, because I'm not a big Dylan Brooks fan, but he's definitely a no excuse defense, get in your face, talk to whoever type of player. How much you think of that attitude is rubbed off on all the other players?
I think that I wouldn't say that it rubbed off on all the players. I think that he just is a veteran presence that, you know, has been in the playoffs, that, you know, is a defensive minded guy that I think helps kind of set as an example to some of the younger players on what they need to do to succeed. Fred VanVleet is not a defensive player. He can do it, but he's too small. He's an offensive guy.
Yeah.
So they needed to bring somebody who has the junkyard dog kind of attitude. And he has that in spades, right? We know that. Just like Draymond Green is the same way. He has that in spades, right? Dylan Brooks is that kind of a player. And I would say that he does rub off on some of the players, at least as an example for others to kind of
how to play hard defense. I think he does too. You know, towards the end of his career over at Memphis, he started to become a liability. He was making them a little too kind of crazy. So I'll be honest, I thought lesser of him. I didn't think when I heard he got traded to Houston, I'm like, oh, they sent him off to Siberia. Like, that's it. You're just you're going to die. But I mean, to his credit, he's, you know, the team's playing well. He's a component of that. You know, he's a starter on that team. He is very defensive minded. I think that, like you said, and, you know, they're the second best defensive team in the league. I think if they continue focusing on defense, the offense will follow, you know, and I think that's a lot of what a lot of teams have a hard time doing, or a lot of players have a hard time doing, you know, like Indiana last year. They're just very offensive focused. But I think if you're a good defensive team, I mean, we've talked about this and, you know, through history, everyone's talked about it. You know, defense is really the key piece. And I think that, you know, that's where they're at right now. And, you know, and the coach there, I want to call him Epe Odu. I know that's not his name, but that's
Ime Udoka.
You're thinking of the Milwaukee guy for the Warriors.
Oh, Epe Udo.
Epe Udo, yeah. Anyway, yeah, no. You know, he was coaching in Boston, and, you know, and I know he had a defensive mind. He's a defensive-minded coach, and you know, and he's bringing some of that over to Houston. And so, you know, good for him. And, yeah, I think to answer your question – I don't think they'll stay at the number two spot, but I think they're going to be top four. I think they got some staying power. I think they're going to, which is going to upset.
That nobody gets injured, but assuming
all of this is with the assumption that no one gets injured, right?
Yeah.
But even them, like them more than others, I think they can sustain an injury a little bit better than some of the other teams.
Yeah, they're a deep team, man. I mean, they have the likes of Atari Easton coming off the bench. They have Amen Thompson coming off the bench.
One of the
they
twins.
Have Steven, Steven Adams coming off the bench.
Yes.
Jason Tate coming off the bench. And then your boy Reed Shepard.
Yes.
He gets like 5 to 10 minutes a night, but, you know, he can shoot. He plays good D. So just a little small, you know. But
yeah, but I'm saying if something happens to Van Fleet, I think Shepherd could be more. Yeah, he can come in there and play, right? Step in for you know a handful of games. So yeah. So I think that this team's a little more injury proof than some of the others. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Like Shai Gilgeous Alexander goes down in Oklahoma. I think that's way more of an impact than.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But the thing is about this team is that they're not reliant on one guy to do the most of their scoring. They have Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet. They have Baby Jokic and Alperen Şengün. Then they have Jabari Smith. You know, then they have the Tari Eason coming off the bench. They have Dylan Brooks as their defensive minding guy, but so is Jabari Smith. But you can see, and then of course Steven Adams is that guy too. He's a defensive.
Yeah, I think Şengün would be the one that would hurt the most if he got
injured. Yeah.
He'd be the one that would hurt the most, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. Okay, so you say they're still going to stay around top four.
I think so. Thing. I mean, we can go back and look at what my prediction was before. I think I did have them in the playoffs, maybe towards the play-in game. I don't remember. We'll take a look at that here in a minute. But
right.
But yeah, I think they have some staying power, and they'll stay in the, you know, if there's 10 teams, they'll stay in the upper half, five or higher. Okay. You know?
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the next team. So we have. This is a team that you pointed out, right?
Yes.
At the beginning of the season. You're like, yes. These guys are actually, you know, going to come back. And, dude, they have come back with a vengeance, all right? Ja Morant looks like he has become the leader in that team. Like, he's definitely took, you know, that whole thing last year where he got kind of, you know, fined by the NBA, got, you know, he was not playing, you know, he missed like 25 games. I think he took it seriously, man, which is good. It's showing right now. He's definitely become kind of one of these vocal leaders, set, you know, lead by example type of guys. But you can see, like, based on their ratings, right, their starters are the 21st in the league. But their bench, dude, look what happened. When Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, you know, those guys got hurt last year. Then, you know, it just a lot of these other guys kind of got a lot of playing time.
Blessing in disguise.
Yeah, you can see the results here, man. I mean, they are a very, very deep team. And the guys that really haven't really played yet are just G.G. Jackson. Really, he's the only guy who hasn't really played. And then you got Vince Williams, who's been kind of in and out as well. But other than that, you know, these guys are sporting a 10 to 11-man rotation, just like the Warriors are doing, right? So this team seems to be here to stay. They have won six of their last seven games. They're 14-8 right now. They are very hot. Okay. They are definitely climbing the ranks. And I, you know, you could call on that, dude. I mean, these guys are.
Yeah.
And
it's someone who I had noticed, you know, during the summer league, who I think is a key bench component is Scottie Pippen Jr. You know,
you did. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I was just really impressed by his overall kind of just handling of the team. And I felt like he was doing whatever was needed. You know, and so, you know, I do want to give him his props because, you know, when Ja Morant was out for a little bit, I believe he stepped in the starter's role to fill some of that time. And, you know, they weren't as good, obviously, and they're not going to be. Ja Morant is a stud. And yeah. So, you know, but I think, you know, he held his own, and I think the team didn't lose its way, and they're there. Yes, I called them out, but I didn't know they were going to, you know, again, they're right now, based on their ranking, they're a little bit higher than I had initially anticipated, but yes, I expected them not to be towards the bottom of the group. I mean, I expected them to be competing, and that's what they're doing right now. They're competing.
Yeah, you had them as the ninth seed, and I had them as the 12th seed.
Yeah, okay,
so we're both way off on that because these guys are definitely playing.
It's still early in the season. There's it's a lot.
We're a quarter way through it now. Almost a quarter way through it. So you kind of see the trends right now.
Yeah.
On what a team's going to be doing. And, you know, we're going to talk about our team coming up shortly. But yeah, these guys, you see these guys sustaining or regressing a little bit to the mean?
So I think regressing a little from where they're currently at. I think Houston's got more staying power than they do. I think that eventually they'll be in maybe the 7 to 10 seed, somewhere in there. You know, maybe sixth. I think that's a little high. But I think they'll be playing for a play-in game. I actually think they might win their play-in game, you know, and get into the playoffs. But that's kind of where I have them, more in that range.
Well, you know, I got to tell you.
Now, again, Zach Edey's been hurt,
Zach
too.
Zach Edey has been out for like 8 games, man.
Yeah, he's
this
killing
is the reason why you made up some ground on me, man, on that.
Yeah, I know.
All right? But he's coming back. He's coming back, I think, this weekend. So I'll be kind of getting back to my lead again, man. But
you're fighting weight.
Yeah, exactly, man. So, all right, man. So let's go on to the next team. That is the Los Angeles Clippers, the number 5 seeded Los Angeles Clippers, yeah. Right? They're the 22 rated. This is the worst rated offensive team out of all the teams that we're covering here today. They're the worst. We already talked about the Rockets. They were the second worst. But defensive rating, this is kind of where this is their calling card. They're the 6th rated team defensively, and their net rating team is at 10. Okay, so they're a top 10 team net rating. But you can see that their bench is 12th, and then their starters are 22nd. And they're doing all of this without Kawhi Leonard, man.
Yes.
Right? Imagine when they get Kawhi Leonard back. All right.
Well, this is the squad that's making me eat a little bit of humble pie, because I thought there was no way in hell they'd be anywhere near here. Like, dude, I thought they'd be like towards the bottom until Kawhi came back, and then try to make some sort of surge back into, you know, back into contention. But I mean, Norman Powell is playing really good. Harden found a little bit of old Harden, you know. Yeah, now again, exactly. With Harden, I don't think that's sustainable. With Norman Powell, I think it would be, but with Harden, I don't think it's sustainable. You know, if Kawhi doesn't come back to help here in this, I don't think they can keep it up. Like not on the.
Yeah, you're right. They'll be too reliant on Harden, right, to kind of carry the weight of the offense. Norman Powell has been doing that very, very well. But they're just more of a defensive-minded team that they kind of create offense based on their defense, you know. Yeah. Visa Zubac, man, he's
playing. One of the most underrated big men in the league.
Oh, dude, amazing, man. That guy's he's a great fit for that team. Yeah. And then, you know, you have these defensive-minded guys. They're all kind of similar-sized. You know, they're just kind of long and wiry. Derek Jones, Chris Dunn, Terrence Mann, Nicholas Batum, Amir Coffey, old man Batum. But these guys are all like long, wiry, defensive-minded guys, right? These guys are a problem, in my opinion, and they're just going to get better whenever Kawhi Leonard comes back, right? But so, what is your call, man? If they're going to regress or sustain this? I know it all depends on Kawhi, but I just kind of
want. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm gonna stick to my original thought. I don't think they can keep it up, but you know, and the reason I'm saying that is I don't know how they're doing it now. You know, I can't. I mean, I understand they're good defensive team, you know, but I'm at a loss as to how they're doing it now. So because I can't really put my finger on it, I'm gonna say they're gonna slip some. Now, if Kawhi comes back, that changes the whole ballgame. This is where I would have expected them to be with Kawhi playing.
Right.
Not without. And, you know, and of course, he's a, you know, as long as he's healthy, he's a defensive monster.
He's a
problem. And so, yeah. You know, it's going to be a problem. NBA. But I don't have as much, I don't feel as much insight into them as so I'm going to say they're going to slip. But to be honest, I'm going to be honest with you and everyone here. I don't have a feel for this. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. I think. You know, and by the way,
and you've been more of a fan of them than I have. You've been more of a believer of the Clippers.
Yeah, yeah.
So just maybe what do you think? You think they got staying power?
Well, I had them ranked 9th. All right, that's where I kind of thought they would fall. You had them ranked around 12. Were 12. I was 9th. I'm surprised at how well they have been playing, because I thought they would be more of a play-in team. And you know, the season's still long; anything can happen. But I did not see them being where they're at right now, especially in a very deep West and a very talented West. You know, they're right there at number 5, man. So, you know, they're 14-9 and that's a good record, man. Especially when you play in the majority of your games in the West. So without their best player, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is their best player, even though Harden is very formidable, but Kawhi Leonard is their best player. Right.
So, yeah. I just don't know how much you can count on Kawhi. Like, he could come in, play a couple of weeks and then
he's 2 weeks out. Right.
And then, it's just, I lost track as to what even hurts. What he's hurt with,
you know, just like, it's always been a knee issue with that guy.
Yeah,
it's always been,
yeah.
It happened when he was in San Antonio. It's been a knee issue, and it's always lingered for him throughout his career. So, all right, man. So let's move on to the next one. We only have two more teams. The next is, of course, our team, man. The team of the day, the number 7 seeded team, Golden State Warriors. They are now 12-8. Their offensive rating is 8th. Their defensive rating is 5th. Net rating and 9th. I mean, you look at all those numbers. That's very respectable, man. Right?
More than respectable.
But look at their starters, man. They're dead last in starter scoring. Their bench is first. All right. This is all about that 11 to 12 man rotation thing that Steve Kerr, you know, kind of said, this is the strength of our team and we're going to go ahead and take advantage of it. And sure enough, it showed up in the first, you know, 12 to 15 games. It like, okay, this thing might work, right? Because no team has ever really done this, not like this, right? And then now you're kind of seeing, I think what happened, bro, is once DeAnthony Melton got hurt and he's out for the season. They lost something, man.
They did.
They lost, and that's amazing. That
well, somebody... I think it's twofold. I think the thing that I didn't put into calculation was they didn't really have a backup point guard.
They don't. They still don't.
And my assumption was it would be Anthony, you know, the Anthony Melton. But my other thought was that I think Pajemski is really hurting them right now.
He is. I mean, he got called out by the coach in the last game.
He's the guy that would fit that role, you know. And so I think that of everyone that got hurt, they picked the one position they were the thinnest at.
Correct. That's a good call, man. That's a good call because that is where they had Chris Paul, you know, as a backup point guard. And anytime you lose somebody of that caliber as a backup point guard, it's going to hurt, right? So they really didn't have somebody of that caliber to take over when Steph Curry needs his blow, right? He needs his rest, right?
Correct.
So
being said, also, you know, Steph's not a traditional point guard, right? He plays off the ball. He moves the ball around. I mean, it's just, they got hurt. I mean, a lot of people would say they're thin in the front court, and I wouldn't argue with them. But they're really, like, thin at the point guard. Because Steph's kind of like a 1.5, right? He's not a 1 or a 2. He's kind of sort of in the middle, you know.
In between. He's a tweener.
Yeah, and Pajemski's a 2. He's not even a 1.5, I mean, in my opinion, you know. And so, you know, I was kind of thinking about this earlier. I'm like, so can we start Kyle Anderson and Draymond?
they were talking about that. That's the problem is offensively they would take a serious hit, right? Because – you know, though Draymond has gotten better with his three-point shooting, he's definitely become more offensive-minded recently because of out of necessity. Even then, he's still not, you know, a very fluid offensive player. Kyle Anderson is a very good all-around player. I would say that, you know, in my opinion, I think he should be playing more, honestly, man.
I think so, too.
I think that's probably an adjustment that Steve Kerr is going to make because anytime that guy is on the floor, dude, good things happen. Every single time, dude. You know,
I'm wondering if Moody should get some of Pajemski's minutes.
He should. I mean, that's what they were talking about a lot on the local radios today. Is like, you know, for whatever reason, you know, this guy can make a mistake, and he's still out there being thrown out and playing, get a lot of playing time. But then Moody and Kuminga, as soon as they make a mistake, oh man, they're out, right? They're out of the rotation. They're not playing that much, right? So something's got to give, right? So
and what's really killing me. And I'll say this: we're absolutely destroying a great season by Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins is playing freaking awesome!
So good, and like I feel like we're wasting it. Like, dude, come on!
Like ever since he's been playing well, they haven't been winning, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, what's interesting, bro? I've been seeing kind of a trend in how they've been losing. Okay. What's been happening, bro? Is that, you know, we all know that the Warriors, because of their motion offense, their react and read kind of offense, they're going to create more turnovers, right? In general, just because of the way they play. But a lot of talk on the radio today, a lot of callers, a lot of the radio guys were saying that maybe this team doesn't have the intellect collectively to be able to operate in a read and react offense, right? Which is part of the reason why they're having this problem, right? But what I've been seeing is, that what happens, they had a 9-point lead and they were dominating Denver last night, man. They've done this multiple times. They were dominating the Houston Rockets by 31 points, right? Then they let them
back. They were dominating the Brooklyn Nets.
Most of the teams, they dominate for a period of time. And then, dude, then their turnovers. Their turnovers are just killing them, all right? Especially the non-dead ball turnovers, right? That creates a turnover that there's a lot of points off of turnovers that are causing a problem for this team. And that's their main issue. That is probably one of their biggest. For sure.
That's a good point. Because you look at players like Kuminga, Buddy Hield, you know, Pajemski as of late, like when they have the ball, they make poor decisions. Like Steph's always been horrible with the ball. I mean, let's be clear. He's always been a turnover machine.
He's a turnover machine, man.
Yeah, but he's been forgiven because of all the other things.
He does all the stuff he does offensively, man.
All the other things he can do offensively. But and even at times defensively. But he's always been careless with the ball.
Always, like, dude. And that's the one thing. And you and I know that you and I have talked about it. That's the one reason why he's not my favorite Warrior. Because me being a coach, you've been coaches, right?
Yeah,
dude, that is the word. A player that creates dumb turnovers, and he has a tendency to do this, man. And then you can see how bad Steve Kerr reacted to Pajemski doing dumb turnovers, right? But he doesn't have the, you know, the leeway like a Steph Curry, right? Steph Curry is easily a top five best player of all time, right? So he's going to have a lot of leeway for when he makes mistakes. But he does make a lot of dumb mistakes, right?
No,
but,
he does. He gives the ball, you know, a lot. And, you know, and I remember early in his career, I remember he had this thing with his mother where he had to pay her a dollar for every turnover that he made or something.
I think it became $100. It became 100 bucks.
I mean, he owes her a lot of money. I'm going to tell you that.
He owes her a lot of money, man. Mom was loving it, man. She's out shopping, man. So,
Mom will get some new shoes, but you know.
Yeah, but what so I was going
to
say.
I can see the intellect part. Obviously, Kyle Anderson's a guy that knows how to make the right play. Draymond is the epitome of knowing how to make the right play. Trace Jackson Davis, I think, has a little bit of that in him, but he's hitting the sophomore wall a little bit. He's kind of slowed down a little. You know, and so, you know, right now, if I look at him and Looney, I'm like, you know, start whoever. It doesn't really matter, you know, one or the other, you know, because Looney's a rebounding machine. And that dude, I don't know at what point, but you can't move him.
No,
he's awesome. You cannot move him.
You know what? He's got to play more, man. I mean, seriously, every time he's on the court, good things happen, man. Just like Kyle Anderson and Looney, anytime they're on the court, there's no less mistakes. There's good ball movement. There's good screens. There's good defense. That's what this team needs. But what I was pointing out, bro, is that their turnovers are their issue. But the other problem that they have, bro, they make so many stupid fouls, man. They're just careless on fouling. They're just like a foul fest team, and that's how they let teams come back. Right? They get to these big leads, they start turning over the ball, then they start fouling, and then you know the team comes back making free throws. You know, and they just, that's how they become. And then the problem is that in these close games, you know, they're the worst free throw shooting team in the NBA, bro. All right.
That's another thing, too.
That's another problem. You got Kuminga, who's like at 59%, man. Okay.
But historically, don't get me started. I mean, if you're a professional, there's no way you should be less.
You should
than
be 70. Like at least 80%, bro. All
right. I'll give you 70. You should at least be a 70%.
I say 80 if you're a pro.
I'm with you. I agree with you. Yeah. But I'm saying like you should, at minimum, you put your head down if you're below 70.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you, man. So,
and you know, anyway, Waters didn't even play yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's having a problem figuring out the right rotations, man. Right? Yeah. He's got a lot of depth, and he's got to you know, even Curry was saying he's got to tighten up the rotation because people kind of know their roles, right? And maybe that's going to happen. You know, we'll see.
So, you know, you're asking. I mean, I know you're going to ask me. I think they need a trade to get some staying power.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
I don't think we talked about
Nikola Vucevic, right? Nikola Vucevic is a name that's been thrown out, at least the fans over here.
To me, what I would look for is a point guard. You know, somebody that can, you know, can keep it together.
Facilitate,
has a, you know, is a, you know, 37-38% 3-point shooter or something like that, you know, somewhere in that range. You know, someone that can do that. You know, the one thing also that I've noticed is, you know, Buddy Hield really has a hard time creating his own shot.
He's not a good shot. He can't. He can't.
He's very limited. He can't do it. You know, and that's the one thing where Clay was a little different because Clay could – he wasn't exactly make his own shot, but he was tall enough and big enough where he could get it off whenever he needed to. And Hield's a little more limited in that sense.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. They've lost 5 games in a row.
Yes.
They've hit this kind of. Let me ask you this: do you think you said that they needed to make a trade, or
I think they need to do something?
Okay, do you think they need to make a trade, or do you think they just need to clean up their issues that they currently have? Their turnovers are their main issue, right? And then the dumb fouls are another issue, and then their free throw shooting, get it better. Do you think if they do all that, do you think they turn the ship around, or do you think a trade is needed?
So I'll tell you this, and I'm pulling this out of my ass, Eddie. I'm telling you straight up, but. The only other point guard on that team is Reese Beekman, right?
Yeah, guy from Virginia. Yep.
Yeah, if he can somehow make it into the rotation and he proves an asset in just running the team, then they don't need to make a trade. But they need another point guard.
Yeah, but he doesn't even play, man. That's the problem.
No, I understand. That's why I'm saying I'm pulling it out of my ass. But you're asking me. Yeah. Other than that, they need a point guard. Like, they can trade for Vucevic, and that's great. That's not going to help them in the long run. They need someone who can run the team.
Yeah. Maybe go get Lonzo Ball.
Sure.
Vucevic. Yeah. Vucevic and Lonzo Ball.
That's fine. I mean, you know, but again, Lonzo Ball's a race like Melton, right? He gets hurt all the time. We pick him up. We start doing good for 10 games, and then he's out for the season.
Yeah, you know? I know. I hear you, but yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But something. So to me, that's what I think they need to do. They need to find another facilitator, or Brandon Podziemski starts to hunker down and play like he should.
Yeah, and let's see. Let's see how he reacts to how Steve Kerr kind of admonished him in front of the press, right? We shall see what this kid's made of, because he definitely, he's the type of kid, I think he takes coaching well. He's one of, you can just tell, he's just one of these kids that just wants to be better. He wants to be coached. You know, if Steph Curry wants to be coached and gets yelled at by Steve Kerr, everybody else in that team follows suit, right? And he's one of these type of guys. I think he's very well liked in the locker room, even though he's cocky, he's got a lot of moxie, but I think, you know, players like that, man. I think just as long as you're not like a Jordan Poole and then get, you know, get punched, you know, in the practice, and then you leave the team. But, you know, because Jordan Poole was kind of on the border of being way over cocky, right?
Yeah.
This kid's got moxie, but I wouldn't say he's cocky.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's not like arrogant, right? Like where Poole was a little arrogant.
Correct.
But again, he's got to like, he's got to worry more about facilitating, making the smart play, stop throwing these, you know, passes that are 50 feet over everyone's head. Like all of this, he needs to cut it out. So they can solve it within. I mean, there's a lot of pieces they can get. You know, Brandon Ingram's probably available if they want to get him. You know, like there's a lot they can do, but I just don't see how those pieces are going to help. Right.
I hear you.
At least at this point, you know, like this year, I'd rather have Wiggins than Ingram. Right. Like, I mean, to me this year, right. If you're talking, you know, future and all that, maybe we could have a different conversation, but like, you know, for me, like, the players we got are good, but we got to find the right rotation, and I think we got to find someone that can fill in that point guard
spot. Yeah, you know, I hear you. I hear you, man. Yeah. All right, man. So your call is they need to make a trade. I'm saying I'm not there yet. If this continues where they're sliding like they are right now, then yes. But I think that they're going to make some adjustments here, and they have enough talent to be better than their five-game slide right now. They've proven it in the early part of the season, right? They have a bunch of good guys on that team that are very defensive-minded. They're a very defensive-minded team.
No, yeah, and that's the promising travels. Thing. They're on a slide, but they're still the fifth-best defensive team.
Which is a promising stat. Correct. And the thing is like I said, if they can just clean up their turnover issues and their dumb foul issues along with better free-throw shooting, I think this team could go ahead and turn things around.
But they got to find a way to rank to raise that those starter offensive numbers. That number 30 has to get to.
I agree. But they're the worst as far as
their starters. That's bad. Where they're losing. That's where they're losing right there.
Correct.
You know.
Correct. That is where they're losing. So that probably screams a trade needs to be made.
Let me ask you this. That also does that open up a can of worms like Kerr's starting the wrong people?
I think he just has way too many people that are good that he needs to figure out how to maintain the winning that he has, because, you know, there's a lot of good players and, you know, it's a problem, dude. I mean,
I think that part of what he's doing is he needs to find the right players to play with Kuminga. Right. And so that's part of his he's got like two or three pieces that are square and everybody else is circle. And he's got to figure out how to like make that work, and it's not easy.
Yeah, no, I hear you, bro. I hear you, man. I hear you. So we know we're going to talk about these guys in ensuing weeks, because you know they're definitely a surprise team that I think has regressed a little bit, but we shall see if they turn things around over the next couple of weeks. We shall see, man. But let's go on to the last team before we go on to our next segment, and that's the number 10 seeded San Antonio Spurs. They are a surprise team. They are 11-10 right now. They are the 15th ranked offense, 13th ranked defense, 14th net rating team. Their bench is fourth best in the NBA, and their starters, surprisingly, are 25th best in the NBA. All right. Now, they haven't really had many injuries to say, other than Devin Vassell, who was kind of out for a big period of time in the early part of the season. But other than that, This team has been
pretty... Bayama's been in and out here and there, but
yeah, but like that's a sustained amount of time.
No,
right?
You're right. Yes, correct. Yeah.
So, but you know, the additions of Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes definitely seems to have unlocked this team a little bit, man. You know, the Harrison Barnes, we know he has championship pedigree, right? He had that one championship with the Warriors in 2015. And then, you know, Chris Paul, who's kind of considered, widely considered as the best point guard of all time, as far as the one who hasn't won a championship, okay? Not of all time, but the best point guard of all time that hasn't won a championship, right?
He's one of the better floor generals.
Maybe Sean Stockton would have something to say about that, but, yeah. You know, but he's up there, right? Top two or three, right? Yeah. But those two veterans seem to have helped this team out. And Wembanyama, dude, that dude is unbelievable, right? Yeah. He had his first triple-double last week, right? He's like a 35-point triple-double, all right? I mean, this guy is – and he's, in my opinion, we both picked him as the defensive player of the year. And we thought that's a shoo-in. And I think it still is a shoo-in. I think he is the best defensive player in the NBA right now. I think he's going to win it this year without any problem. So, but this team screams of a trade potentially happening because I didn't think – I think that the brass – even without Popovich being at the helm, because, you know, he had that mini stroke and, you know, I don't know when he's
have you heard back. Anything about when he might come back?
No, I think it's indefinite. I haven't heard anything, but, you know, they've been doing this without Popovich. And, you know, I think that, you know, once he comes back, if he does come back, I mean, you know, it's a big void to lose like one of the greatest coaches of all time on your team. Right. And, correct. You know, but this team is playing freaking awesome, man. I mean, they've won five of the last seven games. All right. And they've won games against the Thunder, the Warriors and the Kings. That's formidable competition, man, that they're beating. This team is a problem, man. But I think because of how well they're playing, they're going to make a trade. I think it screams that they're going to make a trade because they are climbing the ranks. And they have enough assets on that team to make, you know, have a better player on that team to make them better offensively and defensively.
Okay.
What are your thoughts, man?
Well, you know, this is one of the teams that I snuck in there. Like, pay attention to the Spurs.
Yeah, you did.
And there was two reasons that I kind of stated that. One was, you know, Wembanyama's got another year under his belt. I watched him in the Olympics. I thought that he was really coming into his own. But the other one was the Chris Paul effect. You know, Chris Paul, when he went over to the Thunder, you know, and I'm like, dude, they just sent him, like, to nowhere. And all of a sudden, they're, like, challenging the playoffs, and they're playing way better. Yeah, like he's a difference maker. You know, I'm kind of looking at the roster, like who they could trade for, what they could get, uncertain, you know, I don't really know. Like, I think you want to, you know, Stephon Castle, for example, he's a good player. I think he's going to be a really good player. You know, are you thinking like somebody like an upgrade over Harrison Barnes or.
No, I would say just like a bench player. Right. Okay. Because, you know, yeah, you have Stephon Castle, you have Wembanyama, you have Chris Paul, you have, I think it's a you have it depends on the matchup, but you have this Champagne who plays a lot. Yeah. Then you have Zach Collins who plays depending on matchups. You know, I just think Devin Vassell, he's been hurt, but he's a kind of an offensive threat. But I think that they need kind of like you know who would really unleash this team, bro?
Who?
They should go ahead and make a trade for Jordan Poole.
Seriously. Really? Okay, that's what you think.
I think that's an interesting move to bring a Jordan Poole to kind of be offensive-minded guy that can kind of be instant offense that can be coached to play defense because you have to play defense for Greg Popovich. And Jordan Poole can play defense. It's just not a strength of his. He focuses on offense, right? And when you're focused on offense, you don't want to play defense, right? But I'm just saying someone of that caliber who can shoot and be instant offense.
So you're looking for like a spark plug correct. Type player off the bench.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Somebody that can shoot from the outside, create their own shot, and open up things for Wembanyama and be, you know, somebody that could essentially fill the void for like Chris Paul when he's off the floor. Someone like that. That's my call. So
Well, they're not on the list, but do you think, you know, obviously San Antonio's a game better than Minnesota. Who would have thought that in a million years?
Right.
Who would have thought that? Right.
Minnesota's struggling, man. We talked about them last week.
They are. Well, you know, I'm wondering if Minnesota is like where their minds are at. Do they need to make a move? Do they need to let somebody go? Do they need to, you know, or are they just still growing pains? I don't know yet. But they're, you know, there could be someone off that roster they could pluck.
Maybe. Maybe, but like who? Nikhil Alexander Walker? you know, maybe Dante DiVincenzo. He's somebody that'd
Yeah.
be perfect for them. You know, someone
Yeah.
like that. Someone like
Yeah.
that is what I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so let me ask you, do you think they're continue this rise or do you think they're gonna regress to the mean?
Well, so they're the number 10 seed. I think they'll hover right around here. I think they'll be challenging the whole time.
Okay.
Right?
And
I don't think they'll make it like to the 8th seed. I mean, they may make it throughout the season, but at the end of the day, I think they're going to hover right around the
so,
10th, 10th to
yes.
9th, somewhere in that range.
So you and I had them projected before the season started, both at 13th seed.
Yeah.
We both picked them
Yeah.
at 13th. They're 3 seeds better right now at 10. And I think they're going to be probably maybe 2 seeds better than where they're at right now.
Okay.
So that's my call. All right, man. So
All right.
that's
Wow.
it. That's it for our first segment. Dude, we went 1 hour and 11 minutes on this
All
segment,
right.
man. Wow.
Man.
All
Killed it.
right, man. So do you got the cup
I
page?
do. I do. I have a little bit of a different view here.
All right, cool. Let's bring it up, man. So we're going to talk about the Emirates NBA Cup. So while you're bringing that up, you know, the cup just finished up this last week, and now we have the brackets all set up, man. So,
Yes.
you know, what the contest that you and I came up with, right? We went ahead and picked, you know, the winners from each of the groups, right?
Yep.
And then what I thought would be appropriate is that if you got the right pick, you know, in that group, you get 2 points for that pick. Okay.
Okay.
If
Okay.
for whatever reason the team that you picked didn't come out to be the winner of that group, and you picked them to be the winner of the group, but they ended up being the wild card, then you get 1 point.
Okay.
Okay. So that's kind of what I did here. So the way we did, so right now, you and I for Group A, we both picked the Knicks. The Knicks came out to be the winner. Okay. So we get 2 points for that.
All
You picked the
right. I know
Pacers.
neither of us picked Atlanta, I'll tell you that.
No, yeah, but in Group B in the East, you picked the Pacers, I picked the Heat. The actual winner was the Bucks.
Yes.
In Group C, you had the Cavs, I had the Celtics. Believe it or I can't believe the Celtics didn't win it, but the Hawks won it, man. They're their actual winner, right? And
Yep.
then as far as wild card, you picked the Heat, I picked the Bucks. Now the Bucks ended up winning their group, but I because they won their group and you know I picked them as a wild card, I get an extra point for that,
Yeah,
right?
so you're
So
up. You're up three, two.
I'm up right now from the East. Now
Yep.
you go to the West. You and I picked the Rockets at a Group A. Okay, so we both get 2 points for that. Then in Group B, you picked the Lakers, I picked
Yeah, I
the
did.
Thunder, and the Thunder did win it. Okay, so I
The
got two
Thunder
points
did
for
win
that.
it. Man, you kicked
And
my
then
butt.
the Warriors got the Group C. We both picked the Warriors. We both got points for the Warriors because we both picked them. But then the difference here is in the wild card, you picked the Thunder. Okay,
So
they
I get a
actually
point.
won the group. So you get the point there for that. I picked the Suns. They barely lost. They almost got the wild card, but the Mavs got it. Okay. Sorry about that. So the Mavs got the wild card, but you got the extra point because the Thunder did win their group, but you picked them as the wild card.
So
So
by
you get
my
the point.
calculations, you won like by 3 points or something like that, or
No, I'm up
four.
by two. I have 9 points. You have 7 points.
Okay.
All right. All right.
All right. Very
So
good.
now we're going to the knockouts. All right. Now look, now so right now we have the Mavs going to the Thunder in
Yes.
the West. Then we
Yes.
have the Warriors going to the Rockets.
Yes.
And in the East, you have the Magic going to the Bucks. And then you have the Hawks going to the Knicks. Right?
Yeah.
Now we're going to go ahead and pick. Now let's go ahead and pick the winners here. And then you pick, you know, whoever, if you get it right, we'll say it's 3 points. All right.
Okay. All right.
And then for the championship or semifinals and the championship, we'll get more points on that. So okay, so who do you pick in the West between the Mavs and the Thunder?
I'm going to go with the Thunder.
And I am going to go too. All right, so we're both picking the Thunder.
Hardenstein is playing really well.
Yep.
And that they're ever since he came, ever since he joined, they've been getting better back to where they were to begin with. So I think, yeah, I think they're going to win that
Okay.
matchup.
All right, so okay, now going to the West,
Now you're breaking my heart now. Now you're breaking my
Warriors
heart.
versus Rockets.
So I'm going Rockets. I don't wanna, but I'm going Rockets.
You know what? I'm gonna go Warriors just because I'm a homer. I
You're
think they're gonna turn it around.
okay.
I think
I
they're
love
gonna
you for
turn it
that.
around.
I love you for that, brother. But
Yeah, I think they're gonna turn it around. All right. All right. Let's go to the East. Magic versus Bucks.
this is the hardest one for me to pick here. I'm gonna go with Orlando.
Oh man, I'm going the Bucks.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Hawks, Knicks.
Knicks.
Same here. I'm going Knicks as well. All right. Yeah. So the only real difference right now is the Magic. You have the Magic, I have the Bucks, and then you pick the Rockets, and I have the Warriors. That's the correct. Only real difference, right?
Yep.
So, all right, man. So we're going to go ahead and keep track of it. We'll know by next week, you know, where things, at least part, not, I don't think we will know all the results by next week, but it starts next week. I just don't know if they're going to be finished by the time we have this podcast next Wednesday, because our podcasts are on Wednesdays, right? And the first games are on Tuesdays. And I don't know if both of these games or four of these games are on Tuesday. So we'll go ahead and get this figured out, man. So, all right, man. So now that brings us to our next segment. Yes. That's our rookie watch. All right, man. So we got to zoom that one in, brother. All right, man. So, all right, can you scroll that at all over to show closer to the, there we go. All right, man. All right, so you can see right now we are in game, you know, right around game 20-ish right now. Let me go ahead and take the rookie watch conference standings bar so people can see what's going on here. So you can see on the top list, you can see my name there. I have Zach Edey, Alex Sar, Stephon Castle, Jamal Shedd, and Cody Williams. And then you can see the totals, the cumulative totals that those players have accumulated on the team. And you can see my number one player right now is Alex Sar, because Zach Edey has missed, I don't know how many games, like 8. So, but he's coming back this weekend, so I'll be kind of, you know, coming back a little bit. But you can see that my team has scored 1,711.1 points collectively, right? Yes. Then you have your team. Your team has Rhys Archer, Filipowski, Reed Shepard, Matas Bucelis, and Dalton Connect.
Filipowski has been out for a handful.
5 games. He's been out for 5 games. So unfortunately not getting any points there. But you can see that Cody Williams on my team, dude, he's in the G League. He got relegated to the G League, man. All right. So he hasn't been playing, and he hasn't been doing very well in the G League, man. So I don't know, you know, you might be making up some ground really quick.
But if Filipowski plays,
yeah, but then I got Zach Edey coming back to play, right?
Yep.
All right. So what I wanted to do, bro, is if you could do me a favor. Can you pull up like a box score? Let's just say pick a box score from yesterday.
Okay.
Any box score. Just show any, it doesn't matter. Pick anything. Just pick any box score and then just put it up there. Any game, and we'll pick a player. Maybe pick like the last Atlanta Hawks, or pick Atlanta Hawks game, maybe.
Here you go.
But it's showing.
What do you want, the stats?
Yeah, that's the stats. I don't know if you can zoom in. Okay, so this is Portland. You can't see it very well, man, unfortunately. It's not blowing up very well. But if you can't, here we go. All right. So here we go. So let's go ahead and let's zoom in on Jeremy Grant.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I can't see the stats. If you can scroll it so you can see what each of the – yeah, there we go. So Jeremy Grant is a good one, right? So, so here we go. Points. So you have 12 points. Points or points? 12 points. All right? Gotcha. So rebounds, they are 1.2 points per rebound.
So this would be – okay, gotcha. So this would be 4.8 points.
4.8 points. So you get 12 plus – 4.8 points. That's 16.8 points. Okay.
Yep.
Then you have assists. Each of those assists is 1.5 points.
Okay. So that would be six points. 6 points.
So that would be, so now right now collectively that's 22.8 points.
Got it.
Okay. Yep. When you add all that up, then you have blocks and steals. Each block and each steal is 3 points each.
Woo! So
right there you have 12 points.
Six added. And six. That's 12 points.
12 points. So then you get 34 points, 34.8 points, and then the turnover, that's minus 2. Okay?
Okay. That's so a 1-to-1 ratio. The turnover is a 1-to-1 ratio. Got it.
So then Jeremy Grant scored a total of 32.8 points.
Got it. So that's how we're doing it.
That's how you do it. That's how I've been doing and calculating every player that we have on that rookie watch. So you can go ahead and take that down and go back to the rookie watch slide. Okay.
Got it. Now, so that's how we're doing our score.
That's how we're getting all these points right here. But you can see like there's some blanks, right? Because not every NBA team plays the exact same schedule, right?
Correct.
Everybody, you can see right now, like the one who's played the least amount of games right now has been the Washington Wizards. They're at 19 games, and then you have somebody who's already played 22 games. There's like the five teams that have played 22 games already, and then you have the Wizards only playing 19, right? So they're 3 games behind. All right, but you can see that the delta right now is 183.5 as of scores as of yesterday. And before, you know, the difference between us was a lot more than that. And I guess it's because of Zach Edey.
I think it was 211 last week, so.
Correct, you're gaining ground big time. You are gaining ground big time, man, right?
Coming back! Yeah.
But we want to go ahead and, you know, we talked about this last week to the audience, is that, you know, this is a great way for you guys to have fun with some of your friends, right? You can watch a game together and kind of pick, you know, hey, I'm going to pick this person from this team, and then you pick this team, another person from this team, and then we'll compete for drinks or whatever.
Whatever.
Kind of the same kind of, it's fun, man. It's fun.
It's like a mini one versus one fantasy league you can do.
Exactly. But you know,
what I like about this is, you know, like, you saw that Cody Williams was starting when we first made the draft. You know, you had a little bit of insight, so you picked him up because you're like, all right, he's playing. And, you know, and that's part of the challenge here. When you do it early on, we don't know who's going to play. We don't know who's not, you know. I picked Bouzelis because I thought, you know, like, oh, he played really well in summer league. And you know, Chicago's not all that great. And even though they're part of our, you know, surprise teams, you know, he really started off really not playing at all. And then as of late, he's starting to get more and more involved. And that's kind of the cool part, you know. Like Dalton Knecht, you know, was kind of in the starting lineup, but I didn't know he would be in the starting lineup. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of making his way in there.
He's making his way, man. But let me show you a quick little trend here. If you look at focus on game 18, right, you can see that I had a total of 69.4 points. You had 71.6 points, right?
Yeah.
So the gap was bridged right there. Even game 17, that was the last time I had a lead. Okay. Then from game 19 to 20 to 21, you can see, you know, 80.1 points you had in game 19, I had 75.3. You're eating into my lead. And then right here at 50.9 points in game 20, I'm at 14. And, you know, Sar is the only one who hasn't played, so you're going to gain some points on me there. And then here again in game 21, you have everybody played except for Filipowski. And I've played, you know, I still am missing two other players, but you're going to gain ground on me again. So this is this is what's interesting. It's an interesting process here, man. So, but you're coming back. You're coming back with a vengeance, man. So, all right, let's go to the standings.
Yes.
All right, bro. So maybe you can zoom that out a little bit so you can kind of show so everybody can. Yeah, there we go. All right, man. So you can see the orange is the West and the blue is the East. The column on the left is Twan's rankings on the West, and then the column on the right in the West is mine. But you can see the actual standings are on the left column for each of our standings, and then the projected, this is before the season started, where we thought they would go ahead and end. And what we do is we get 5 points if you get the exact seeding correct, and then you get 3 points if you're essentially just one in either direction off, and then 2 points if you're 2 points off, and then 0 points after that. So you can see in the West, you have 25 points right now, and then I had 22 points in the West. So you're up by three on the West. And then on the East is where you made up some serious ground. I was ahead for the most part, but you're getting back.
Here's our score, right? Here's our overall score right here.
53 to 45, man. And this is going to continue to shift. Again, the total amount of points that you can have for each of these conferences is 75 points max. Okay.
Okay.
That's the max. As close as you are to 75, I mean, that's going to be the ratio. Whatever number we come up with, right? Divided by 75, we're going to see who's more accurate, right? At the end of the season.
but you definitely
are making up some ground, man. I had a convincing lead in the very beginning on both of these contests, and now you're
well, you know, like some of the teams, you know, like you and I both had the Warriors and the Lakers down towards the bottom. They're trending that way now, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we both had obviously Minnesota that second. We both had them ranked second in the division, and they're nowhere near that.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, very. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, man. So
Clippers are killing me, not you as much, but still you some.
But you can see. You can see the scoring, and you know, we don't. Yeah, but you can see how it comes out. But you're definitely doing well, man. Here, and it's going to be interesting to see how this shifts as we go. But That essentially covers our show, man. That's pretty much all the content. Dude, we're at 1 hour and 25 minutes. Again, our intent is to be an hour for each show. We have yet to get there, man. We've always been a little bit over. But, hey, this is why we're here, to give you a lot of content on the NBA. But this is our show. We went ahead and covered some of the surprising teams, both from the East and West conferences. We covered four teams from the East and then five teams from the West. And then we dovetailed into the NBA Cup. We had a little contest there. We're now in the knockout rounds. Right now I have a lead of 9-7 over Tuan. But we're going to go ahead and track the results next week for the NBA Cup, where we have made our picks for the knockout round. We're going to go ahead and keep track of that to see how things go. And then we're always going to go ahead and go over the rookie watching conference seedings at the end of every show, just to see how things are moving along. But we definitely wanted to have you guys participate in this. You know, when we first did this, we wanted to have you guys post, but nobody posted. Maybe you can do this next year, and then we can kind of maybe do some giveaways if you beat us. But anyway, this is our show. This is Buzzer Beaters, episode 30. All right. We appreciate you. We're here live every Wednesday. Although, unfortunately, Tuan, I think next Wednesday I'm going to have a conflict because I have a Christmas party with my company. So we're going to have to record next week's. But I know that as we're getting closer to the Christmas holidays, we're probably going to have to do the same thing at that time.
Yeah, we're going to have to be jumping around here a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit. But our intent is to be here live every Wednesday so we can go ahead and take your comments and your questions. Sure. We haven't had a few in a few weeks, but, you know, we have confidence and faith that, you know, the audience here will engage and start asking us questions again. So,
But anyway, even if you don't, Eddie and I can talk to each other for days. So
exactly. But anyway, this is our show. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. This is Buzzer Beaters. You can find us at gremlingsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, pretty much any podcast outlet, Rumble. Just as long as you can go ahead and call out Gremlings Media, you'll find Buzzer Beaters. But this is our show. Again, this is Eddie Aparicio, and this is Anthony Tuan Corral, and we're going to go ahead and sign this off.